Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Hurricane Elsa could make landfall in Florida early next week, which is just the latest threat, making the rescue effort at the collapsed condo building in Surfside even more precarious. 20 people are now confirmed dead. 128 are still missing. That number has dropped as officials get more information about who was in the building when it collapsed. Many family members at this point are losing hope, and President Biden reflected that feeling of agony when he visited families yesterday.
It's bad enough to lose somebody, but the hard part, the really hard part, is to not know whether they're surviving or not. Just not have any idea.
NPR's Adrian Florido is in nearby Miami Beach. And Adrian, I know you've been to this site. Well, what have the workers said about how they're going to deal, first of all, with this storm?
Well, the storm's path is still very uncertain, but if it does impact southern Florida, that would be a huge setback for the rescue and recovery efforts that are still underway. Emergency officials are saying that they are prepared to deal with multiple emergencies or disasters in the state at the same time. But you can imagine how strong winds, let alone hurricane force winds and rain, would complicate the rescue efforts that have been slow and tedious because of, you know, the structural instability of both the pile of rubble and the part of the building that did not collapse.
We're into day 9 now of this rescue effort. Officials are still insisting that there still could be people alive underneath the rubble. But, you know, I've spoken with a family member who said he had no hope of seeing his mother or his grandmother alive again. From your sense, what's the mood there?
More people are feeling that way. Yesterday, there was, though, a lot of frustration, both by families of the victims and by rescue workers, because the portion of the tower that did not collapse started to shift, and so rescue efforts had to stop for more than 14 hours. And after 9 days, every minute, every second is precious if you're talking about finding someone who might still be alive. And so you can imagine the agony of being sidelined for more than half a day. Those recovery efforts finally resumed just before 5 o'clock last evening, and officials said rescue workers were eager and excited to get back to work. And then this morning, things are somber again after we learned that the body of the 7-year-old daughter of a Miami firefighter had been recovered.
Mm. Well, on top of that, as you've hinted at, this building, the part of it that still remains, they're now talking about demolishing it. It's too unstable, and there's fear that moving rubble could create an even greater collapse. I just wonder how rescue workers are taking all of that into account.
Well, they're taking everything into account very carefully, we're told. Engineers are monitoring both the rubble pile and the still standing portion of the building constantly. Yesterday, a FEMA engineer told us that they will be taking that remaining portion of the building down, but they're still considering their options for how to do it without disturbing that debris pile because of how determined they are to continue searching not only for survivors, but at the point where there is no more hope for survivors to recovering bodies and remains. So we do know that it'll take weeks, though, because of how complicated that process is going to be.
Yeah. Do you know how families have responded to the president's visit?
From what we're hearing, very well, generally. I haven't had a chance to speak with families since his visit, but he met with families for more than 3 hours yesterday. Most of what we heard from officials and rescue workers was that, you know, people were comforted by the president's empathy, but also by, you know, the president's promise that the federal government is giving full support to this recovery and rescue effort, and that 100% of the costs to this response of this disaster are going to be covered by the federal government for at least the next month.
A Miami-Dade County judge placed the Towers South Condo Association into receivership today. Tell us about that and what it means exactly.
Well, what it means is that an independent receiver is going to be handling the condo association's finances while the court hears lawsuits related to the building's collapse. 5 lawsuits have already been filed. There are more expected. And the judge handling this said that, you know, it would allow an independent party with no financial or emotional stake in the tragedy to step in and basically take care of business. We learned that the condo association's insurance covers claims up to $48 million. There will probably be more money available when you take into account the value of the land. And the receiver is been authorized by the judge to begin issuing payments of several thousand dollars to the affected families, both for housing assistance and for funeral costs.
We have just about 40 seconds here, but what else can you tell us about some of those concerns that people had about the building before its collapse? Are we learning any more about that?
There still aren't a lot of clues about what led to the collapse. Investigators are going to be looking at all kinds of possibilities, from construction errors to delayed repairs, potentially, to the possibility that there were issues with the ground beneath the building. But we do know that at least some of the residents of the building had been frustrated by the slow pace of repairs that a consultant had identified a couple of years ago. And learning today, for example, that 2 years ago, the president of the condo board resigned because she was upset at the slow pace of repairs.
NPR's Adrian Florido, thank you very much for your reporting.
Thanks, Peter.